Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you would open up your bulletin, you'll find the sermon notes. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the power of the gospel. What difference does the gospel make in our lives? What difference does it make? And the power of the gospel, not only for us individually. Sometimes when we think about the gospel, we think about, I am saved through Christ, and that is true. But the power of the gospel transforms the way we look at our lives, of who we are and what we're becoming. As a matter of fact, it so disrupted the early life of the believers that they had to change their whole perspective of what it meant to be a community. The power of the gospel changes us from a me to a we. It changes us from individuals to a community. We are so, as a people, we are so focused on gifts. We celebrate when people have amazing gifts. As a matter of fact, there's a TV show that's been going on for a couple of years now. Maybe you follow it. Certainly we watch it from time to time in our house, where they go around the country and people audition for this show. And they come out and they try and show, what is their talent? Do they have some talent that they want to demonstrate? And they kind of filter down through. And finally, through weeks of auditions and practice and concerts, they finally come down to one person who has the best gifts and the best talent. And the name of the show is what? America, America's Idol, American Idol. So much so that we identify one person that has such gifts that we say they have become for us an idol, right? They have talents that rise up above everybody else. We single them out and we identify who they are. How many of you have noticed or have read in the news today, follow sports a little bit, and you find out that a basketball player, LeBron James, is going to be moving soon to a city nearby. He's moving back to Cleveland. And LeBron is probably one of the most celebrated basketball players that is playing currently. And it was interesting because I saw a picture in the news that when LeBron announced that he was going back to Cleveland, on the stadium, on the side of the stadium, they unfurled a huge banner. And there's a picture of LeBron standing there, and at the very bottom, a huge banner saying, "The King has returned." The King has returned. That's because we are so focused on his talent and what he can bring. I don't really know how much money LeBron is making. It's a pile, let me just say that. His friend, Chris Bosh, I did find out, is staying in Miami and just recently signed a contract for 5 years for $125 million for 5 years. A pile of money, because we so focus on the gift of a basketball player, we throw money at them in order to watch them demonstrate their gifts. In the first century, Paul created a church. He went and he began introducing people to the gospel of Christ, that Christ gives us new life, new hope, and a new mission. Come together as the people. But in Corinth, they were beginning to fracture. They were beginning to come apart because some people were coming early and they were eating all of the food. They said, "We have a special place in this church. We have special gifts and special talents. We are the aristocracy of our time." And Paul said, you don't understand. What God has done is take us from that individual look at who's on the top of the pyramid and said, we are now coming together. What the gospel does is it takes our individuality and it molds it together and it fuses us in together into what has become the church. It is a different way of looking at life. Instead of this competitive nature of who's rising to the top, it's how do we facilitate our coming together as one body. So this morning, we're going to take a look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. And listen to how Paul invites us to be a different kind of people, a different example for the world in which we live. Will you join with me as we center our lives on what God is doing in and through us? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ, and I know he has a purpose for my life. Reading from chapter 12, Paul writes, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if an ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now you are part of the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, surround us with your Spirit. Allow it to unite us together and help us to take up our part in the body. In Jesus' name, amen. We focus on what does it mean to be gifted. As a matter of fact, in our own culture, we're so focused on that sense of giftedness that we isolate people and say they are part of the gifted program, and we want to give them special training because they are above all of the rest. But if you think about our culture and what it means to be considered gifted or unique or special, it means that if I were to ask you this morning, are you gifted? Almost invariably, people would, in the back of their mind, said, compared to what? What do you compare it to? Am I above all of the rest? And so we enter a time of great competition. Who's going to rise to the top? Does my life have meaning as we move forward? How many of you have ever heard of Garrison Keillor, the guy who wrote all of the Lake Wobegon stories? And every time he in his radio program would introduce Lake Wobegon, he said, "Lake Wobegon is where all of the women are strong, all of the men are good looking, and all of the children are above average." And it's a wonderful image to have. Imagine a place where people aren't competitive. Do I rise above all of the rest? Am I isolating myself in order to just kind of have a special place that everyone can see? Is there a sense of isolation of look at LeBron or look at all of the people that rise up to be American Idol? Is there a place for me in God's kingdom? And Paul is dealing with this in his own community as people were becoming torn apart by who has special gifts and who does not. And he said, "You don't understand the power of the gospel. The gospel makes us one body." But he's very intentional about saying, as part of the body, you do not lose your individuality. As a matter of fact, it allows it to flourish because you become something greater than yourself. And so he introduces this image that the church, our community, our gathering this morning is more like a body, where each of us have a role, a critical role to play in order for everyone to be healthy. So this morning, as we think about the power of the gospel, it transforms us from our individual, our rights, our needs, our wants to what is best for the whole, what is best for the body. Listen to how Paul begins his dialogue. The first thing that he wants us to know as what does it mean to be a part of the church? He said, everyone in the church is gifted. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has something that God has given to you, something to celebrate, something that you uniquely bring to the table. No longer is it saying, am I gifted? Do I rise above everybody else? That's not the question. The question is what gifts do you already bring to the fellowship? What do you have to share with us? And the question that we often wrestle with is, do you accept for yourself your giftedness, the talent that you have, the opportunities that come? So often when we find opportunities and we say, we ask and invite people into a life of mission and ministry, I can't do that kind of stuff. I don't have those kind of talent, because we're comparing ourselves to other people. When we pick up our role, when we recognize that God has gifted us, then we begin to look for opportunities to express that gift. How do we share what God has already started in you? We recognize what Paul is saying, that as a church, we come together because we all have a gift to share. The reason that God has gifted us is for the common good. That what gift you have is necessary and needed for everybody else. They are indispensable. You have a special gift that everybody else needs. They're beneficial and they're synergistic. Let me give you this example. When I was growing up in high school, as you made the transition primarily from elementary school to high school, there was a time when all of the different musicians would come to school and they would lay out on tables, flute, trumpet, clarinet, drum, whatever it is, and you had the opportunity to go around and try things. What did you enjoy doing? What did you gravitate towards? Was there an instrument that you enjoyed, something that you would want to learn about? And you would kind of gravitate towards a different instrument. And for me, as I was growing up, I kind of gravitated towards the snare drum, towards percussion. Now, once you had kind of gravitated and you had a gift, as you continued to grow through high school, all during your high school years, you would take music lessons. You would take some kind of music lesson and you were expected to be a part of the marching band or the concert band that the school had. Initially, you have to recognize that you have a gift, you have a talent, you have something that God is asking of you, a talent that God has given to you. In my case, it was a snare drum, okay? It was something that I had to learn how to use. It was something that I had to develop. It was something that I learned how to use with other people. But I had to first recognize that I had this gift, this talent, that I needed to share. The second thing that I had to recognize is that that gift and that talent had its biggest and its fullest expression when it was used with other people. If you've ever listened to the snare drum, it provides rhythm and it provides structure for the rest of the concert, but by itself, it isn't really a concert in and of itself, okay? It has a gift and it has a talent that it only really has value when it's applied with other people, when it's combined with other people. It provides structure that they need at the right time, at the right place. I had a gift, I had a talent, and it applied to other people, but when it came together, it flourished. There was a whole concert when the trumpets would come in, when the flutes would play. Anybody that has ever gone to a great symphony knows that it's a choreographed musical celebration. Everybody using their gifts at the right time and at the right place so that you get this wonderful concert of music. See, what God has often done is said, each of you has been given a unique gift and a talent. By itself, it's wonderful. But if you really want to get it to flourish and see the joy and the wonder that comes from it, you have to partner with other people. You have to learn. You have to develop it. It's a talent that needs to be expressed. And when you do, it will become more than just a bunch of music put together. It will flourish in ways that you cannot imagine. We have been given gifts and talents. Everybody is above average in our church. Everybody has something that God has given you to do. You have been given a gift and a talent for the common good, to be a blessing to somebody somehow, in order that we may live and express what the kingdom of God is really like. When people are no longer trying to say, there is, you know, King LeBron, or there is the American Idol, but to say, here is the body of Christ, serving, uniting, coming together, building each other up, encouraging and inspiring one another in a way that the world doesn't allow for. Fred Waring is a choral master out of Pennsylvania, and several years ago, he took the song Battle Hymn of the Republic, and he set it to choral music. And if you remember, there's a line in that song. It said, as he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. And he looked at that, and that hit him. And for his choral, he changed it. He changed the song, this classic. And in his choral, he had them sing, as he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. Let us live that they may know what he died for. Let us know what Christ was like. Let us live in such a way that they will say, that's what the body of Christ is looking like. It is people that are joyful as they lift one another up, as they celebrate life together, as they take whatever their gift is, as small as it may seem to them, it is crucial for the health of that body. And watch it, how they flourish together, of how they use it and just drink in the music that they produce, the love and the fellowship that they celebrate. The question that we are left with then today is that our fellowship? Do we have those talents? Are we willing to accept the gifts that we have? And are we willing to produce that kind of music? God has gifted us because we're all above average. God has given us for the common good, to be a blessing to everyone that is around you, in order that we may know the kingdom of God is alive. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks today for the presence of your Spirit among us to change and transform us. Help us, O God, to live in the image of Christ and in the Spirit of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. And now let us continue to give thanks to God for all of these gifts and blessings by the giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings.